MRSA is one of the most dangerous known infections thanks to its resistance to most treatments and its ability to easily spread to patients in high-risk areas like hospitals and nursing homes. Now, microbiologists and chemists at the University of South Florida have developed a synthetic compound that is showing promise in fighting the infection. I spoke to Dr. Lindsay Shaw, USF Associate Professor of Microbiology and Molecular Biology, about his team's work, which recently received a U.S. patent. I started by asking, what is MRSA and how dangerous is it?
It's a big problem. It's a bacterium known as a superbug. It's the bacteria that superbug was invented for. It's the most common cause of infectious disease and death in this country by an infectious agent. Hundreds of thousands of infections every year, tens of thousands of people die from it. And there are very few treatment options left for this bacteria. It's very drug resistant. And so when a clinician goes to treat a patient, there are dwindling therapeutic options.
And one of the things that we've seen MRSA really heavy in will be hospital-related infections, correct?
Yeah, so this is the old adage was that hospitals were full of sick people and healthy bacteria. And so you'd go to a hospital for an operation or for chemotherapy, or the very old or the very young, you have an impaired immune system. And so that's when the bacteria pick on you. And MRSA used to be the, and still is, the most common cause of hospital-acquired infection. But about 15 years ago in this country, we had an explosion in what we call community MRSAs. And so these are causing infection in young, healthy people. And so that's part of why it's now the leading cause of infectious disease and death, because it used to be and still is a hospital problem, but now it's more than that. It's a community issue.
What are you looking at to treat MRSA, particularly this quinazoline-based compounds? What are those?
Sure. So in my lab, what we do is we look for new treatment options for MRSA and other bacteria too, because as I said, there are very few treatment options left. The medicine cabinet's pretty bare. And so we work with a number of chemists here at USF and beyond to try and develop those next generation of treatments that we hope could eventually lead to use in the clinic. So for this story, we've been working for about 5 years with chemists here at USF on a group of compounds termed quinazoline. And so they're an old class of molecules. They've been around a while. And they've been used for treatment of different things. And what we've done is put a new spin on this. Our chemists have designed and created novel, never-before-seen quinazolines, which we find in testing in our lab are very effective against MRSA.
You say that the chemists have created this. How do they go about doing that?
They're wizards. That's the kind of thing that they do very well, and I barely understand myself. And so what I do know is that they can take chemical structures and molecules and tweak and play with them almost like Lego building blocks and create new derivatives, new variants, and produce things that before no one's ever done. So it's true artistry to me. It's amazing. But yeah, you'd have to ask a chemist for the real answer.
So how do they work? Why do we think they work against MRSA?
There's a specific pathway in the bacteria that is used to create fundamental building blocks for life. And we as humans don't have quite the same pathway. And so we find that these molecules target this important pathway in bacteria. And for MRSA and a couple of other drug-resistant bacteria, they do not seem to like these molecules when we apply them, not only in the lab and so simple testing in the lab, but we move to animal systems too, because, of course, when you're thinking about a therapeutic, you really need to be looking at mammalian living systems. And so when we use mice infections of MRSA, these quinazoline compounds, they work very well for curing mice infection.
This compound in particular, is it more of something that would be used to fight MRSA, or could it also be used in the prevention of MRSA as well?
I think this is more likely to be fight. One could think about maybe prevention from a topical cream or something to prevent wound infection, but the thing we're really looking at with these is a pill that you would take once you get infected and that would hope to clear the infection. So a treatment as an antibiotic once you've been infected would be the idea.
When you have something like this where the tests are being run and the tests are being run, then suddenly you start seeing this maybe be the thing that's working against MRSA, what is that like as a researcher?
It's kind of what we live for. It's those eureka moments. You spend a lot of time, as I said, 5 years really working on these in our lab, and tens of thousands of different molecules are falling by the wayside. But when you see them become more and more effective, so the chemists design them, give them back to us, we feed back the data, and on it goes. We get more and more excited when things start progressing the way that they should. And I don't take credit for this. My students are inventors on the patent. They do a lot of work for this. And so collectively as a team, it gets really kind of exciting when things start moving in the right direction.
Yeah, when you have students that do the work and end up with their names on a patent like this, I mean, as a graduate student, you know, getting your name on possibly something that could be world-changing to some regard.
I'm an associate professor 15-plus years post-graduate school, and I'm getting my first patent now. So for those getting them in graduate school, it's a testament to to intelligence and hard work. And yeah, you could see how excited they are when they get involved in this kind of science.
Now that the patent's been filed, what has the reaction been from the field, from fellow chemists and fellow engineers looking at this?
Well, it's been kind of exciting. We've generated a lot of interest, at least here at USF and locally. This is a series of molecules, like I said, that we've created. We published that work about a year ago in a very well-respected medical journal, and we've had some positive feedback from it, and we're quite excited, and it seems that other people seem to share our enthusiasm.
And you mentioned the idea of success in rat models. At what point does this move on to human testing and then possible human treatment?
Yeah, so that's probably still a long way away. It takes a long time to create a drug, and that makes sense because you don't really want to put anything in a human being that you're not absolutely sure about. So we're probably 5 years in at least. I think we have another 5 years of true development of these things before we can then begin to talk about the next step, which would be humans. But like I said, that backwards and forwards creating and refining and perfecting is what one really needs to go through. And so they've cleared a lot of really important hurdles thus far, which is why we're even talking about them. So many things don't even get to this stage. And so now we need another good few years to refine and test and get the safety really nailed down before we think about going near a human being, because as I said, you need to be really sure before you do that.
So even for something as important as a treatment of MRSA, science needs to move.
Indeed. The FDA has rules and regulations about these, and for good reason. You can't really start interfering with human beings until you're absolutely sure. And so despite the absolute need, yeah, these things are slow. And that's why there is an absolute need, because there was a gap maybe 20 or 30 years ago where discovery of antibiotics diminished significantly. And at the time, it wasn't really felt. But now that backlog of 10 to 15 years of wait is really beginning to kick in.
Even though there is that long, we'll call it an incubation period for the idea to be proven and then, you know, go through all the testing. With the issuance of the patent, has there been any sort of interest expressed by pharmaceutical companies at this point, or is it the kind of thing that they're just keeping you on the radar, so to speak?
The way that things work in this country and have done for the last few years, maybe decades or more, is that pharmaceutical industries really keep an eye on the universities. We're the kind of hotbed of innovation. We get to do things that they might not do because we don't have shareholders that tell us what to do. So the crazy ideas we get to follow. So the idea is that typically industry will follow what universities are doing, and the more developed and the more promising a product becomes, the more interested they become. In terms of these, I don't remember the last time I talked patents and licensing, how much interest we'd had in them. Some of our other more junior molecules, some other antibiotics that we're developing now, we've had some interest in. And so that's the hope here, is that there's only so far at a university we can take these before industry partners have to come in and help us take it to the next phase. And so that's the real hope here.
Microbiology Associate Professor Dr. Lindsay Shaw, thank you very much, and good luck with the research.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.